just been told we're under extreme pressure. This is Roger Overall arriving to record Business Jazz, telling me that even though I handed him a very interesting book by Jonathan Janssen.
No. I'm going to stop you there. Stop making me sound like some villain of the piece. We have a meeting with two other people in an hour and a half. I know from experience that an hour and a half with you and I, if we don't control ourselves, is not going to be nearly enough to record a half-hour podcast.
Okay? Where's your cup of tea?
So I haven't
what are you
got
having?
One.
Have you ordered it?
I haven't ordered one. No.
You spent your time looking at the iPad without getting yourself a cup of tea. Go and get yourself a cup of tea, and I'll malign your character while you're away. Anyway, Roger is right, of course, that he's very, very focused, and I'm all over the place this morning. Anyway, this man from South Africa is JJ underscore UFS, and he's written a book called Letters to My Children, and it's called Tweets to Make You Think. And I'm going to quote you one totally at random, right? And while Roger's getting... Okay, Letters to My Children, number 83. Do not test the hot cold taps while standing under the shower. That was a tweet. We'll do one more just to give you a flavor. This is Letters to My Children, number 31. If someone tells you to get lost, do so. You'll be surprised what you find along the way. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, this was a book published by Macmillan under the imprint Bookstorm. This man is Professor Jonathan Janssen, Vice Chancellor of the University of the Free State. I quote from the back, he's a respected educationalist, the author of a number of books, and a prominent speaker on issues of transformation, reconciliation, and educational change. Oh, here's a great one. They put this on the back of the Roger, listen to this. Speak more than one language, it will improve your love life. Roger is so focused, he can't even laugh.
Are you looking right? For insight from somebody who speaks more than one language?
I speak with many languages. Most of them are forked tongues.
No.
Okay, look, how are you this morning, Roger?
I'm very well. I've just...
Are you a grumpy young man?
No, I have just... Grumpy
you just
man.
Had a good news.
I've just pitched a client in New York. No, that's not true. I've just pitched two people in New York a fabulous experience, and I'm curious to see whether they'll go for it.
You've offered two people in New York a wonderful experience, right?
I have, and I'm curious as to whether they'll go for it.
Do they deserve it?
I don't know. I'm going to have a phone call with them. I'm going to find out. So you will see.
You mean you pitched to somebody you didn't know?
Yes, I pitched.
That's worth doing, you know.
And then I said, let's have a conversation to see if we're the kind of people who should be working together.
Oh, I like that phrase. That's how to become really engaging.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, instead of the usual old, you know, ridiculous power imbalance, which is, you're very powerful, I'm very weak, I'll tell you what I can do for you, and you'll tell me whether you deign to work with me, you're saying, let's see if we're the right kind of people to work together.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And let's see if we can't achieve something completely remarkable together.
Did you say that?
I did.
That's good.
So,
are we shifting the ground to bigger projects, rather, Roger? Are we?
It's more ambitious. It's a very ambitious thing. There may even be a role for you if you want it.
If I want it, I mean, I give my eye teeth to work with people in America.
So we will see. At the moment, there is an invitation to have a Skype call. And there's also, by the way, a very elegant exit strategy that if they don't want it,
I'll give it to somebody else.
That's absolutely fine. It's perfect. And we part off. We go our separate ways. So I'm curious. I'm curious whether they'll go for it. I think it could be the start of something.
Talking about Skype calls, I had a wonderful Skype call with Nick Kellett during the week. Nick Kellett came up with this fantastic idea. He hijacked a conversation. In fact, no, that would be the wrong way of putting it. He came up with an idea during a conversation with him in which he suggested that hundreds of people the more the merrier, really, could all get hold of this book here called The Impact Equation, and we could start reading it at the beginning and get all these different voices from all the way around the world in all these different, actually we didn't get onto this, all these different languages, you know, all these different personalities all reading the same book and all put together a one after the other. And you and I have talked about this. Isn't it a good idea?
I think it's a splendid idea.
Yeah, Nick Kellett, you're great.
Yes.
You should. You better tell Chris Brogan what your idea, you know, because you're going to blow the official audio book version of The Impact Equation off the top of the business audio books, you know.
I don't know, because it will never be available for purchase, of course. But
That's what you think, Roger Oberon. If we get together 200 people to record The Impact Equation, you know, no, we might give it away for free, right? But the main thing is that can you put something in the Kindle store for free and have it go to the top of the bestsellers?
I don't know. Sorry, I'm distracted because I am...
Because your tea has just arrived.
My tea has just arrived, but I'm searching
for my
email from Chris Brogan to talk about this week. What? And I just realised that I have another podcast, and I interviewed somebody called Jonathan Keats, and together we created a podcast, and it went live yesterday, and I emailed Jonathan to say, you and I have succeeded, our podcast is live, and I've just seen now that the email did go to Jonathan, but it went to Jonathan Arm, not to Jonathan Keats.
You mean you sent it to the wrong Jonathan?
I sent it to the wrong Jonathan.
Do you know there are three Jonathans then? You've got another Jonathan in your life. I've got Jonathan Arm, who's my business partner, you know, I'm the co-founder of Change Agents. And there's another Jonathan who was in touch with me about something. So Jonathan seems to be the name at the moment.
Jonathan seems to be the name. So I have some...
You better drink your tea. Go on. Otherwise you'll be... Otherwise you'll be something.
Otherwise I'll be something.
You'll be attractive even if you don't drink tea. Any news going on, Roger, just while we're chatting here? He's absolutely intently looking down on an iPad. Now, it's an old-fashioned iPad. It's not the iPad Mini. Which he doesn't have yet.
It's in fact an iPad. I know you're not allowed to say this, but it's an iPad 3, which I bought probably 48 hours before Apple sneaked in the iPad 4, much to everybody's shock. So there we are. So it's
the iPad 4 the Mini?
No, the iPad 4 is a new iPad.
When is it out?
It's out already.
When did it come out?
At the same time as the iPad Mini.
What's different about iPad 4?
It's twice as fast as the iPad 3.
Is it just speed?
Yeah. Just speed. You say just speed, but it makes a big difference.
In that case, I've got mixed feelings about speed. I belong to the slow book movement. I belong to the slow food movement. I belong to the slow time movement. Mm-hmm. I belong to the slow courtship movement.
You've just left the slow computer movement, having moved from Windows to Apple, of course, but...
The thing about the new computer is that instead of me, you know, waiting here intensely watching whether the technology is going to work, I sit here relaxedly admiring how it works. And I feel much more relaxed with a laptop that works.
Imagine. There's nothing worse than when you're in the flow of something, your computer being the thing that holds you back while it chugs through its calculations.
Wasn't it Steve Jobs who said... Or was it somebody who spoke like Steve Jobs who said that what we really want to do is to make the computers invisible so that you have an absolute connectivity between me here, who wants to communicate with you there, and all the paraphernalia sort of is irrelevant.
The bit in between goes away. That's the whole idea.
The whole idea?
Yeah,
is that what Google Glasses will do for us? We'll simply have our glasses on and we won't actually have anything around us.
I don't know. I know somebody who reckons we're going to get retinal implants in the future, which I find slightly scary, to be honest with you.
Of course we'll get retinal implants. What does that mean, Roger? What's a retinal implant?
That you'll have like a heads-up display if you want it in front of you. I don't know how you conjure it up, whether a thought will just conjure up the display in your eye.
No, no, I think the Google Glasses will operate by you lifting your eye to the top right-hand corner when you want to, you know, make an audio book.
Well, that might happen.
Or left-hand corner when you want to, you know, write a blog post.
That's it.
And, oh, actually, you will all, it'll all be voice-activated, won't it? So I'll say, take a blog post.
No, right. It will have to be thought-activated. Surely that thought activation is the future, surely. You know, we'll never, in 2,000 years' time, we'll see human beings, and they'll look very different.
That's a big assumption. How do you know we'll be here in 2,000 years' time?
I'm an optimist. Mm.
Actually, I'm only interested in the next hour and a half or less now. We're going to record a podcast. I think we'll stop this particular prequel. Now. Is this called a prequel?
Yeah, it is.
Is
yeah.
it?
Yes, it is.
Or a prologue. What's the difference between a prequel and a prologue? Now you're the.
I don't know, about $100 million in budget.
That's too subtle for me. What does that mean?
I've never heard a movie called a prologue. I have heard of a movie called a prequel.
Yeah, but on the other hand, what about Henry V or whatever the Shakespeare did? Loads of prologues. I mean, theatre has loads of prologues, doesn't it?
You're asking me.
The prologue? Yeah. And in opera, there are prologues. There's that wonderful.
Are they entire standalone productions, or are they?
No. The prologue. The prologue is the actual. Usually, it's the monologue to the audience before the play begins.
Okay, so it's
basically in Henry V, somebody, I can't even think who, makes the most extraordinary piece, and A.J. Leon would tell us what it was because he was the guy who got loads and loads of people to perform the beginning of Henry V, where basically the audience is asked to imagine that here in the theatre are the forces of France and England drawn up on battlefield, and the prologue engages with the audience, making the audience aware that they are co-creators of the drama on stage, and that they are the... Their imagination is critical to what's going to happen on stage and engages with them. It's a technique that Shakespeare used. I don't know who else did it back in his time. But then there's an absolutely wonderful opera, a one-act opera by Puccini, where a clown comes out on stage at the beginning and sings... Just as in a circus, actually, the prologue. When's the last time you were in a circus?
I couldn't tell you.
Your memory's that bad?
I couldn't tell you.
You'd probably kill me for going on like this, but I can tell you that what happens in a circus is that the first thing that happens is the clown comes out and warms people up. So, warm-up act. This has been a warm-up act for the main show, which is Business Jazz Podcast, which we will now move over. Are you ready?
I'm still reading the email.
Yeah, you read the email.
You're reading this week, so...
Oh, you said that last week.
Yeah, and then you made me do it, so...
Yeah, so well, I lead from the back, Roger. There are three places you can lead from, right? You can lead from the front, follow me into battle, right? Mm-hmm. You can lead from the middle, right? And you can lead from the back. And all three styles work. Mm. And we could think about, in our podcast about leadership, which we'll do in... 5 years' time, successful leaders who have operated from the front, once have operated from the middle, and once have operated from the back. You know, and our dear listeners to this audiobook, what's your style? You know, there's no right and wrong answer to this one. Bye.